I knelt at the clown's head. His grin, a scarlet smear, stretched across greasy stage makeup, and then angled up toward a wig, electric orange and kinky. He lay on his back, hands at his sides, palms open. Under the portable LED lights we had set up, the reds and yellows in his checkered shirt took on a fiery glow, as though the fabric was illuminated from somewhere deep inside the boy's chest. Inside the tent, the air was still and smelled of stale popcorn and manure and blood. Shadows and gloom filled areas in the space that the LED lights could not reach, would not reach, without a powerful generator. Outside the tent, it was a hot, dry August day. We had seen 95 on the thermometer before noon. Over the Rockies, clouds like cotton balls dotted the blue skies, cream-colored puffs that teased our parched forests. A few miles from the fairgrounds, popular trails were crawling with hikers and dogs, their enthusiastic paces slowed only by toddling children and overindulgent parents, all oblivious to the newest spectacle at the Fellini Brothers Circus. Heaven outside, hell inside.
Coulrophobia.
I squinted up. Chief of Police Angel Chavez stood a few feet from the body, careful to keep his loafers out of the blood that had pooled and thickened beneath the clown. The shoes were brown and Italian, and out of place among the horseshit and dust. The chief looked down at me and sighed.
Fear of clowns. Coulrophobia. Lisa lost her fourth grade spelling bee on that word. I had to listen to her recite it for weeks after. C-O-U-L-R-O-P-H-O-B-I-A, Chavez said.
I smiled. How'd she spell it?
Two O's instead of the O and U. Who's the clown, Gemma?
His name is Reed Tolliver. The general manager for Fellini's, a guy named Joseph Fatone, gave us the ID. Caucasian male, 19 years old. The injury begins here, I said, and flashed my pin light at the gaping tear under the clown's left ear. The wound traversed the poor kid's entire throat, carving a jagged canyon across what had once been a smooth surface of flesh. Reed Tolliver's eyes were open, and when the beam from my pin light caught them, I was struck again by their icy blue color. An arctic shade so pale it looked unreal, like those contact lenses people wear at Halloween. Chief Chavez sighed again.
Other than the woman who found him, has anyone else been in?
I stood, twisted to the side and cracked my spine and shook my head. A fairground worker had discovered the body 2 hours earlier. Searching for a box of raffle tickets, she entered the tented storage space and moved through a dimly lit maze of junk and trash. Ropes and canvases, signs, nails, empty containers, wadded up fast food wrappers, crushed soda and beer cans. She found the tickets, turned to leave, and saw the body. I arrived 10 minutes after the call came in, the crime scene techs 15 minutes later. Chavez rubbed at the stubble on his chin. These days, the tiny hairs were coming in more gray than black.
What else do we know?
Fatone, the general manager, had given me little information. He got sick after identifying the body, throwing up all over the front of his polo shirt. I couldn't handle the smell of the vomit, and I let him leave the tent without a full interview. Tolliver shows up in Cincinnati 2 years ago, begging for a job, says he has theater experience. Fatone claims he never takes on kids, but Tolliver had ID and was a few months shy of his 18th birthday, and they just had a clown quit, so.
Bullshit. Half these employees are probably underage, Chavez replied.
I thought about the young men and women milling about outside the tent and decided the chief was right. Most of them didn't look a day over 18. It would be easy for a street kid to fall in with the troupe and find a place for himself. And it would be even easier for the circus to pay a kid less than what they'd pay a migrant worker.